Now, he's going to mention here seven things that before he met Christ on the Damascus Road, he trusted in. And I want you to notice these seven things here that he mentions, because they are, very frankly, very important. Now, will you notice, he says first, circumcise the eighth day. Now, what does that mean? Well, he didn't get up out of the crib on the eighth day and go down to the synagogue and have this done, or to the temple. It means that his parents took him. You remember the Lord Jesus was taken up to the temple on the eighth day and circumcised. Circumcise the eighth day. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means he had godly parents who reared him according to the Mosaic law. It means that he had wonderful parents. And my friend, that's an asset. That's an asset to any man. One of the things that I think hurt me more and helped me back more in my early ministry than anything else was the fact that I was not brought up in a Christian home. My dad was a heavy drinker. He would not darken the door of a church. He was very bitter and very much prejudiced. He made me go to Sunday school, however, and I do thank God for that. But I never saw a Bible or heard a prayer. And when I went away, even to seminary, I did not know the books of the Bible. I was totally, woefully ignorant of the Bible. And there are people who think that I still am. But I have improved a little on it. Not much, but a little. And so I would meet other fellas, and they seemed to know so much. Brought up in a Christian home, with a Christian background. And what an asset that seemed to be to them. And I always felt deprived. I always felt that I'd missed something. Now, Paul could say, I was circumcised the eighth day. And that means he had godly parents. And now, notice the second thing that is mentioned here. He says, I'm of the stock of Israel. And I want to tell you that there was many an enemy that he had, a Judaizer, that was a half-breed. Paul was not. Paul says, I'm of the stock of Israel. I have a genealogy, and I think you could have checked Paul's genealogy in the temple in that day, that I have a background. I belong. I'm in. I'm not a half-breed at all. I belong. And that has a tremendous value, by the way. My feeling is that a great many of us that were not brought up in the church, and when we entered, we had to sort of prove ourselves. I've always felt it probably was a handicap. It's hurt the church, because I have seen many times a young man brought into the ministry who was as liberal as he could be. And obviously, he failed in the examination. And some old brother would get up and say, now, I knew this boy's father. He was a great preacher. He stood for the things of God. But you see, we weren't ordaining the boy's father. It was the boy. And on the basis of that, it counts. I'll say that. It'll count in any circle today if you can say, I'm one of those that belong to the in group. I belong to the now generation. That's worth something. And Paul could say that. There's no question about his genealogy. Now, will you notice the third asset that he had? He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And say, that was something. Because, you see, Benjamin was a son of Jacob by Rachel. And she died when she gave birth to Benjamin. And you remember old Jacob called him the son of his right hand. That's what his name really meant. Because Rachel says, call him Benoni. He's the son of my sorrow. He's brought my death. But old Jacob, when he looked down in the crib and saw that little fella, and he had the eyes of his mother. And Jacob, I tell you, Rachel's the one bright spot in his life before Peniel. And as a result, why, old Jacob just leaned on this son. He's going to be the son of my right hand. He's going to be my walking stick from now on. He's something special. And the tribe of Benjamin was like that. And the first king of the nation, Saul, came from Benjamin. And I have a notion that Paul had been named for King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. That was his name that he was given at birth. This is something that meant that he really was up. He belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, you see. And it's nice to be able to say my father was a preacher, a minister of the word that stood for the things of God, or he was an outstanding layman. Those things are worth something. Of course they are. And they are things that men brag about today. I meet so many people that when I ask them about their relationship to Christ, always come back like this. Well, Dr. McGee, I was brought up in the Baptist church, or I was brought up in the Presbyterian church. I was brought up in the Methodist church, and my grandfather, he founded a certain church, and there's a window down there in that church that's just dedicated to him. And that's the reason a lot of the folk today won't leave a liberal denomination, because Grandpa's got a window somewhere that's dedicated to him. May I say to you, that's an asset. I have to admit that it is, although I feel like it's a great hindrance today. But he belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. That was an asset. And if you don't think that was enough, the fourth thing, he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. Paul says, I belong to the highest strata of the religious circle. I was up in the top echelon. Now, the fifth thing, he says, is touching the law of Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee represented the very best in Israel. The Pharisees were a religio-political party that had arisen sometime after the captivity or during it. And as a religious party, they were fundamental. They believed in the integrity of the scriptures. They believed in angels. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in miracles. And they were also a political party. They were extremely nationalistic. And they thought at first, when they sent Nicodemus to Jesus, that somehow or another they could hitch their little wagon to his star and that they could establish the kingdom here upon this earth. They were the best in Israel. And Paul says, I was a Pharisee. And not only that, touching the law of Pharisee, but six, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now you say to me, well, that's nothing to brag of. It was in that day. He had led in persecuting the Christians. The other Pharisees were willing to sit down when they ran them out of Jerusalem. Paul said, I'm not. I'm going to ferry them out all over the world. And he was on the way to Damascus at the time of his conversion. And then the seventh thing, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, Paul doesn't mean that he was sinless. He said blameless. Because back in Romans, he makes it clear that he broke the law, and he broke one of the laws, by the way, that you and I today may not attach very much importance to. Over in the seventh chapter of Romans, he speaks of the fact that the law, something that, well, here's the way he puts it in Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, you cannot break the commandment, thou shalt not steal, but what you'll have the stuff on you, or you may leave your fingerprints back at the scene of the crime. And the same thing would apply to murder. When you commit murder, you got a corpus delicti on your hands, and they're hard to get rid of, I'm told. And you cannot commit adultery without somebody knowing about it. You just couldn't do that sin without it. But you can covet and nobody would be the wiser. So if Paul had kept quiet, we might think that he'd reached the place of sinless perfection. But he very frankly says he hadn't. He said the law slew him. And what he's saying here is this. He brought the proper sacrifice. He brought a sin offering. Now, these are the things that Paul had on the credit side of the ledger. And these are things that there are multitudes of people today trusting in our churches, church membership. Paul had all of that. He had the whole bit. And he says that did not save him, nor did it satisfy him. And today, multitudes are resting on this sort of thing. Now, we're going to see next time what really happened to the Apostle Paul.